You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
So Palm Sunday is today. Passover began last night. This is an appointed time of remembrance. Sometimes in modern Western American churchianity, at least in our stream, we lessen the importance of appointed times in Scripture. But there are times and seasons that are just holy unto the Lord. And then people will say, well, you don't know what the origins of... I don't care what the origins are of anything. I really don't. Because we can redeem anything and make it holy unto the Lord. So I'm not afraid of Easter. If you want to call it Resurrection Sunday, awesome, I love that too. Maybe I'll say both next week. But this is an appointed time of remembrance. This is an appointed time where we learn and teach of freedom and resilience. This is an appointed time where we learn of purpose and destiny achieved through sacrifice of self. And so that leads us into what I believe the Lord wants to speak on or have me speak on today. I'm sure he would do better than me if he did it directly. But he chooses people. There's some people over the years that they say, oh, it's just me and Jesus. I don't go to church because man gets in the way. Look, man's supposed to get in the way. That's how iron sharpens iron. It's not about the man that you don't like. It's about what is God after in your soul, that he would bring that person into your life to bring about change so that you are no longer affected by people that you don't like. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. It's not everybody that you like. There's some weird people in this room. This is the last place I wanted to be in 2007, yet this is where God brought me when I began my journey here. And so, I actually have a title for today. I know it's weird. I'm starting to do titles. But the title for today, it's along the theme of what we've been talking about the last few weeks. You are built to endure. Built to endure from sluggish to steadfast. I sent out a little teaser in an email a couple weeks ago. But I've sensed over the last few years, which is sort of normal. It's not just here. This is across the nations. But there's a sluggishness in much of the church. On the other side of COVID, I don't even like to say the word anymore because it becomes such an excuse. Look, I don't do excuses. As a matter of fact, I meet with people that don't let me use excuses. I talk to people that hold me accountable. Because as much as I say I don't do excuses, internally a lot of times I make them. But that's what they are. Excuses are things that we make in our heart, but they're not actual, it is not an actual rationale as to why we are not progressing in Christ. And so I'll ask you that question today, and it might hit home more than we'd like to admit, and sometimes we just don't like to admit much of anything, and that's okay. The Holy Spirit illuminates all things. But do you feel sluggish? Do you feel sluggish spiritually? Do you feel sluggish personally? Do you feel sluggish in your career? Do you feel sluggish in your family life? Whatever the case, they all end up working together. Maybe you're showing up, you know, you show up to church and you mark the religious, you know, the checkbox on your religious card so that you feel like you've done something during the week, but you're not pressing in. Maybe your passion is cooled, the fire you once carried has dimmed. You're not in open rebellion, but you're just tired. You're spiritually weary. It's a condition to be overcome, but it is not an excuse that keeps you from moving forward. Because here's the good news. You were built for endurance. That's reality. You are built for spiritual endurance. You are made for this. You are made for this fight. You are made for this battle. And the biggest battle that you have to face, it's not the enemy, it's right here. I could sit here and talk about the devil. Oh, it preaches well. The devil's trying to get me down. Look, Joyce Meyer wrote a book years ago. I honestly never read it, but you know, I've seen it a lot. Battlefield of the Mind. I just love the title. That's where the battle begins. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. I think we read this, I don't know. I've been reading it a lot lately. I'm sure we read it sometime. Hebrews chapter 6, 11 and 12. I'll read out of the English Standard Version. And it says this, and we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness. That's a word we use every day. To have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That idea of full assurance of hope, that is biblical hope. It's full assurance of a favorable outcome. I've said it a lot. It's not like you go buy a lottery ticket and you hope that you get to cash in the big prize. It's not, you know, I'm going to keep putting money in the offering plate until my ship comes in. And, you know, it's like some people treat an offering like a slot machine. You know, we just keep putting it in hoping that God's going to show up in some way. No, biblical hope is an absolute assurance. It's tied to faith, faith and hope. Faith calls things that are not as though they are fully manifest in the now, and hope is tied to that faith. If you don't have faith, you don't have hope. And if you don't have hope, you don't have faith. They work together. Faith, hope, and love remain. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So we're going to talk today about how endurance is developed. It's not all that fun, but not just spiritually, in every part of your life. Why do we lack endurance? Why do we get swayed by circumstances? What keeps us from pressing through to the finish line? It's pain. It's uncertainty. It's suffering. I debated on this week, and I don't know when I've talked about it. I know I've done a bunch of little videos on, and so I think maybe one of them talked about pain and suffering, but I want to draw a distinction between pain and suffering. From sort of a natural clinical perspective, and we can also draw the same parallels out of scripture when we get into the original language, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Because pain and suffering each plays a role or becomes a roadblock in our spiritual growth. It can, doesn't have to be. See, Jesus was the prototype. It says he endured the cross for the joy set before him. We're talking about Palm Sunday. He knew what was going down when he rode on a donkey back into Jerusalem. I don't know what's going on with my mic today, but is it me, Jeremy? This drives Jeremy nuts. Me, it's like Rice Krispies, a snap, crackle, pop. Oh, okay. Okay. It's tickling my ears over here. It's not awkward. Thank you, Jeremy. All right. We'll hope for the best. It's a little too close to my face, I can tell. Okay, we'll try that. Okay. So pain versus suffering, let's understand the difference. There's a scientific and clinical distinction. They're closely related, but they're different. Pain is physical and neurological. It's a sensory and an emotional experience associated with actual or potential damage to the body, tissue damage, pain. I gotta switch to the handheld. I just lost my mic. It just popped off or something. I know, but it's gonna drive Jeremy nuts. You guys don't understand this. All right, Jeremy. Check one. Okay. All right, everybody, settle down out there. You guys getting? Just endure the pain. So pain originates in the nervous system. Pain receptors detect damage and they send signals to the brain. I was in chronic pain for 25 years. Well, I mean, I don't know what the math is, but it's close to that. I'm not now. There's some days where I feel high. It's like, I'm not high, I just don't have pain. I don't know what that's like. It is measurable to a degree via physical responses. Like, there are diagnostic tools that we can measure the body's response to pain. And then, but you know, if you're ever in pain, you end up in the hospital, you're at the doctor, and they ask you that dumb question, well, on a pain, a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain? I was like, I don't know, it can always get worse. I'm afraid to say 10, because what if I go like full like Spinal Tap and now I'm at like level 11 or, you know, like I don't want that. It's an old movie, sorry, 80s reference. But pain can be acute short-term or it can be chronic long-term. I had a dirt bike accident. It began a life of pain for over 2 decades. But now I don't have that pain anymore. I'm very happy about that. But now we step into suffering. What is suffering? Suffering is the emotional and psychological distress that arises from pain, loss, fear, anxiety, or trauma. It involves higher brain functions, that is cognitive and emotional processing in areas like the prefrontal cortex and the limbic system. You can Google that later. Guys, I had 5 pain specialists in my life over the years. I know all about pain. I don't talk about it up here because I didn't suffer. For the most part, I had my moments. Come on, I had my moments. I was like in the fetal position, sucking my thumb, feeling bad for myself. But I never wanted pain to become my identity. Suffering is subjective and influenced by a person's beliefs, culture, past experiences, and mental health. Suffering can occur with or without physical pain. A person with chronic pain might suffer more or less based on their outlook, support system, coping mechanisms. So how do we treat pain? How do we treat suffering? Pain management often targets the biological mechanisms of the body. That might include medication. That might include surgery. That might include physical therapy. I had one physical therapist. There's a bunch of physical therapists that I had that were so afraid to touch me because my body was so jacked up. Like, and they would do all the nice things. They do like the infrared, the heat, a little massage. And then I was in Whitensville, of all places, and there was this physical therapist, female about this tall, clearly lifted weights and whatever else she did. I don't know, like jujitsu, MMA. I don't know. But she said, I can't help your pain, but I can help your body. She was awful. She was terrible. She didn't care about pain. She's like, you need to do this. She looked like so nice and quiet and demure until she opened her mouth. And she's like, I'm not going to let you suffer, but we're going to get you through this pain. And honestly, at the end of that physical therapy, that was the best that I had felt in like 10 years. Still, I never wanted to see her again in my life. Suffering management involves psychological, spiritual, mental help, therapy, counseling, chaplaincy. This is why in palliative care, hospice care, they deal with pain, the physical pain, and they deal with suffering. So I sort of learned this early on. So like, because I was never really anxious. I had a couple surgeries, a couple spine surgeries. I wasn't really anxious about it. But if they asked me I was anxious, I'd be like, oh yes, because I wanted all the drugs. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying, look, if you're gonna cut me open, like give me what you got. People are like, what? But you have to address both pain and suffering separately to improve or maintain quality of life. In the vast majority of circumstances, pain is a momentary discomfort, a signal that something is stretching, shifting, healing, or even interrupted. Pain is temporary, but it often accompanies growth. When I was in college playing soccer, they had a big sign in the locker room. It said, pain is temporary, but pride is permanent. Suffering, on the other hand, is prolonged affliction, often tied to the soul. It can be self-inflicted when we resist growth or when we isolate ourselves in hardship. Unresolved pain can lead to suffering. It doesn't have to, but it can. Pain along with suffering are inhibitors to develop endurance. Pain is a requirement to developing endurance. Pain is mandatory. Suffering is optional. It's a hard word. But I've sat with enough people in every stage of life, and I've seen people, And I've held the hands of people who are suffering in their last moments, and I've held the hands of people who lived from victory in their last moments. Let's look at Romans 5 again, one of my favorite passages of scripture. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces what? Endurance. Somebody say endurance. And endurance produces character. Somebody say character. And character produces hope. Somebody shout hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Whenever I read that, I have to reference the Passion Translation because it says, and this hope is not a disappointing fantasy. I love it. The word for suffering here, now this is where we need to have the distinction. The word for suffering here, this is how we translate it in the ESV, and I thought about changing it to the New American Standard, but you know, there are a number of translations that will translate it as suffering, but the older and maybe like New American Standard, King James, they translate this word as tribulation. The Greek word here literally speaks of tribulation, affliction, or physical pressure. And these would often produce pain. And so I often say we can't have a theology of blessing without a theology of suffering, but I would maybe more accurately say, maybe I'll change my language to say we cannot have a theology of blessing without a theology of enduring pain, or what we used to say, momentary affliction. Momentary light affliction. Yeah, but you know, we can't handle that yet, okay. Maybelle. So this passage in Romans 5, it shows pressure, even to the point of pain, can be redemptive, but only when it's submitted to God. Unsubmitted pain and suffering becomes bitterness. Submitted suffering becomes endurance. Oh, it's a hard word, I know. I love this stuff though, because I'm a hammerhead. I'm not as big a hammerhead as I used to be. I full confession, like Riley is always, he takes laps around the house and he's always trying to spar me. No, I'm not doing it anymore. Like he hurts, like he's, and I have zero chance of winning anything ever in a physical confrontation with my son. It's horrible. Someone was trying to convince me, oh, I bet you could dig down deep and take him. No, I can't. I can't do it anymore. Like I can't do it. I didn't want to try. I was about to say, maybe I'll try some. No, I don't want to do it. I do take pain more seriously than I used to, but I don't suffer. Pain is mandatory. Jesus promised it. Yay! Now I'll do an altar call. Would you like to receive Jesus today? He'll make all your dreams come true on the other side of pain. John 16, 33, in this world you will have tribulation. Same word, tribulation. Physical pressure, pain. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So how do you walk through pain? How do you overcome suffering? How do you build endurance? Why is this so important to me? Because over the years, I've seen so many people, not just here, I hear the stories from all over the place. You know, people that'll do something, they'll say, oh, you know, I'm gonna go volunteer for this ministry, not even just in the house, but you know, out there somewhere. I'm gonna go lay my hand to this. I'm gonna do this ministry. And then like 3 weeks later, you back out and you say, well, the Lord just has me in a different season. Or people say, well, I'm burned out. Or look, I haven't seen a lot of people that are burned out. I've experienced burnout, clinical burnout. I know what that looks like. But a lot of what we call burnout is just not properly stewarding our lives Monday through Saturday. You know, somebody will volunteer in children's ministries and then 3 weeks later they say, oh, the Lord has me in a new season. No, you just don't like kids, or they don't like you. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. But, you know, Jesus stayed the course. This, if there's anything you get out of the next 7 to 8 days, it's that Jesus stayed the course. Jesus remained faithful when he was abandoned. Jesus remained faithful when he was rejected. Jesus remained faithful when every offense was heaped upon his shoulders. Jesus remained faithful when the nails were piercing his hands and his feet. Jesus remained faithful when the blood and the water flowed. I wanna be like Jesus, but I don't necessarily wanna be on a cross. Full disclosure, if I had my choice, and if he had his choice, he wouldn't have done it either. Garden of Gethsemane. Say, Lord, take this cup from me. If there's any other way, there's got to be another way. There's got to be some way to do this. So maybe we didn't get all of our, you know, we were in the secret war rooms of heaven trying to figure out how do we redeem mankind. We must have missed something. But not my will, yours be done, because Jesus remained faithful. He endured. So how do you walk through pain? How do you overcome suffering? How do you build endurance? It's really simple, but it's not easy. Number one, connect. Endurance grows in community. The most effective endurance grows in community. The development of endurance is not a solo journey. I mean, I know that some people will, well, this guy ran, you know, he ran marathons and he trained by himself in the mountains of Kenya. Okay, great. We like to take the one example and then just make that thing across the board. Look, this is why, look, first of all, that is not a fitness model that has taken over the planet. But when you think of the fitness models that have taken over the planet, you think of CrossFit. People connect and they learn endurance through community. I think churches should be a little bit more like CrossFit. I didn't hear what you said, but I agree with whatever you said. My wife went to CrossFit once. Yeah, remember that? With Reggie. Yeah, see? Bring Jesus to that memory, Debbie. We're gonna interheal you right now. Look around, where's Jesus? Break the glass wall. Okay. I'm just throwing a couple inner healing modalities there in 5 seconds. But you did it. You know, sometimes, you know, I get cantankerous when I look at social media because it shows kind of the condition of the hearts of some people. But I think of also like the hip hop culture, right? You know, a lot of people, they do dancing for fitness. You go and do I don't know what they call them, a hip hop club, like a dancing, I don't know what they do. Look, you don't want to see me dance. It's not good. Yeah, I know you do, but it's for comedic relief. I'm not giving that to you today unless we're selling tickets. There's a fundraiser. Y'all are incorrigible. Look, I've seen people, I've seen videos of people that they go in, it's their first day, and you got all these people that have been like hip hop dancing for like years. And they come in and they're like, okay, now it's your turn. They get out into the middle of the crowd and they start dancing and it's not good, but they celebrate that person as if they are the top dancer in the world. When you go into CrossFit, which I've never done, in full disclosure, and I don't really have any plans of doing that because I like to do it by myself, but that's neither here nor there. But you go into CrossFit, you have people around you celebrating your success. What is success? You showed up. You want to build endurance? Show up. Show up. I don't care how tired you are. I don't care what happened this week. You show up. Now I do Peloton in my basement by myself, but there's people online at least. Old ladies. I'm just gonna start tasing everybody in this room right now. See, this online people, you miss all of the comments. But you know, you get to see like, you know, who you're riding, because there's always somebody riding live in the class, even if you're doing on demand. There's always, now because of my age, I swipe that off the screen because I don't want to see this 60-year-old lady who's beating me on Peloton right now. I don't want to see that. I just want to, you know, I want to go at my own pace. But endurance grows in community. Back to Hebrews 6, verse 12, it says, be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Again, people are like, wow, I don't need to go to church. You know, man gets in the way. It's all my man, celebrity Christianity. And look, God has given people gifts to the church to set a target for what we should shoot for. I don't really know what's going on out there. I don't. Like, I know a little bit, right? But when there's an event that happens in the church and the government and the world, look, my first question is, does it change my mission? If it doesn't change my mission, I don't give it weight in my life. I can have an awareness, but I don't have to be affected. So there is a biblical precedent for not only imitating Christ, but imitating those he called to lead. Now, I think there's parts of me that I want you to imitate, and then there's snarky parts of me that maybe don't. Like, you know, eat the meat, but spit out the bones. I'm snarky for my own amusement. It was kind of my deal with the Lord when he called me into ministry. But he can change that deal anytime. And he has evolved my deal with him over time. But the reality is you need people in your life who model victory even in hardship. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, those in scripture and those in the chairs next to you at the Bridge Metro West today. You don't even know the stories that are in this room. There's some people in this room that I wish they would share their story. Because you don't know what people have endured. People who've come through the fire, but they're not smelling like smoke. So God gives people as gifts to the church. We're going to talk about this in May with Mark Tubbs. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So much of the church wants to change or flat out reject this passage. But it says this, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ. That verse is followed with some of the litmus tests of until we reach the unity of the faith. I'm not here to teach on that today. But I don't think if you look at the global church, we've attained to the unity of the faith, clearly. I don't think we've attained to the full stature of Jesus, clearly. So some things don't disappear until the fullness of time, as much as we want to reject it. And the church slowly has sort of accepted more and more. You know, 200 years ago, the church generally didn't want to even acknowledge the existence of evangelists. Until God raised up evangelists to start great awakenings across the land and the lands. And then finally the church was like, well, I guess evangelists exist. You think prophets are weird? Like full on, like Ephesians 4 evangelists? They're wacky. So you want endurance? Maybe you don't. Well, you need it because you were made for it. And you're not going to reach potential. This thing that, you know, we can hold a destiny conference and people will come from all around to come to the destiny conference. You don't get there without endurance. And destiny is today. The process you are in today was yesterday's destiny. It's not some nebulous thing that's out there that we're constantly reaching for. It's give us this day our daily bread. So you want endurance? You want to reach quote unquote destiny? Find someone with scars and a story and sit with them and learn and imitate their faith. Endurance isn't developed in isolation. It's forged in the fire of community. Every joint supplies his power perfected in weakness, and unity commands a blessing. Number two, practice. Develop the attributes of Christ. Let's talk about that workout routine. Okay, guys, I started golf lessons 2 weeks ago. I can't believe it. You know what I was doing yesterday? I was doing taxes, and I had the Masters on my TV. I've never watched golf in my life, except when I wanted to sleep. I had to text friends of mine. I was like, what is wrong with me? My sister said I was getting old. A friend from Texas said, it's called culture. All right. He always watches and like makes memes out of me after. He's a good old Baptist boy, but he enjoys watching me make a fool of myself. You have to train. 2 Peter 1, one of my favorite passages of scripture. 5 through 10 in the ESV, I love this phrase, make every effort. I think in the NIV, they use that phrase 8 times in the New Testament. Make every effort. The New American Standard often says with all diligence. Guys, there's effort in this. There's effort that we must apply to this walk. Make every effort, not like, you know, a little bit of effort. Every effort. This is what the Bible teaches. I know there's a lot of teaching in charismatic Christianity on rest. We don't want to strive. We don't want to make every effort. We live from rest. That's security in Him. That we are loved, we are favored, we are accepted in Him by the blood of Jesus. But the outflow of that is now getting our life to catch up to the work that He's done into our spirit. That's what Wesley called sanctification. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And verse 10 says, if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. I don't want to fall, but I don't always want to practice either. Every time I read this or I think about this, I think about me in the car, driving on Route 9 and rush hour traffic. I say it often, but that's my fleshometer. Number 2 fleshometer is me playing video games, getting beat by 11-year-olds. It's horrible. Every once in a while, because endurance is built through community, I hear the voice of one calling from afar saying, Paul! Because of my mutterings while I'm being beat by 11-year-olds. That'd be my wife. Iron sharpening iron. If you practice these qualities, you will never fail. You need to practice. What's the first step of practice? Show up. Some of us don't show up in situations that are so optional that when there's a mandatory reason for you not to show up, like it's like you're not around half the time. You're not even part of community. Because you call optional what other people call mandatory. In full disclosure, I've always said this is why God called me into ministry, because I have to show up. In all of my adult life, there was something I had to do. Whether I was a worship leader or I ran sound or whatever I did, I had 1 year where I was in a church that I had no role in, and it was glorious. But even that year, we missed three, I think we skipped 3 Sundays. That was it. And that was with an infant before we came here. It was a good place to recharge, to be built up. People that warred over Debbie and her life post the birth of our son. Prayer warriors, it was an amazing time. If you practice these qualities, you will never fall. That's the word of God, it's not a motivational quote. Practice is painful. You don't get endurance without resistance. A muscle only grows under pressure. The key is consistent effort, and it's not perfection, it's progress. That's the ranked value that we have on the wall. Excellence. It's not perfection, it's progress. Meaning, I don't want you to be in the same space of your faith and your life next year as you are now. If you're in that same space, either you're doing something wrong or we're doing something wrong. Because I want you to excel. Sometimes people are afraid of that word excellence because, like, oh, well, that, you know, that's, I don't know. There was a big argument over that when we were developing these things, but it's about progression. It's about growth. It's not about meeting my standard or some worldly standard. It's about you and God, and not just you and God, but you in community before God. Are you excelling? Finally, number 3. How do you develop endurance? Steward. What does that mean? Guard what God has given you. Now that you're connected, and now that you're practicing, Here's the question, will you steward it? Stewardship requires consistency. Will you steward the process? Will you steward the progress that you've been given, that you've attained? The problem, even in business, one of the biggest problems in business is we get drunk on yesterday's success. And so we reach this level of success, and now we think that we've arrived, and we can almost develop even a sense of arrogance based on our history. And so we stop progressing toward that thing that we like to call destiny because we think we're already there. Entire denominations have gone through this. Denominations that sprang up out of Azusa Street, hundreds of denominations and splits and things. And where we've rallied around this mountain of revival that happened, 100 years ago, but we've stopped saying, give us this day our daily bread. What do you want to do today? God, I appreciate what you did. And we have a monument to it. There's an altar to it. And we remember the works of the Lord. We remember your mighty deeds. But God, I'm not staying there. It's like the Mount of Transfiguration. What an incredible moment. The apostles are like, let's get a tent. Let's hang out here. This is an amazing place. Every time there's a mountaintop experience, God will call you to go back down into the valley. And though you walk through valleys of shadows of death, you don't have to fear because the God that was on top of the mountain with you is in the valley of the shadow of death with you today. And you don't set up camp in the valley of the shadow of death either. Some of you want to. I've seen people that are married to their affliction. They're married to their infirmity. They get more excited about their doctor visits than they do with the power of God. It's a spirit. It's not just a stronghold. It's a spirit that needs to be broken off. You can't casually carry the things of God. Hebrews 6:11, again, it says, show the same earnestness. You have to guard the things of God. You have to grow the things of God. You have to steward the things of God. 1 Timothy 6:20 says, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Not everyone does that. And people peel off, they go their own way. They think they know better. They become what 2 Peter 1 says, nearsighted and blind. This is the foundation. This is objective truth. And if you dig into this thing and you allow him to transform you, because the word says of itself, my word is spirit and life. It's not just an academic pursuit. It's a pursuit of transformation by the power of the word of God. So endurance isn't a gift you receive once and then coast on. It's a seed that you steward. You water it with prayer. You fertilize it with the word. You protect it with community, and you weed out distractions. I worked out a lot when I was, late teens, early 20s. 4 hours, sometimes 6 hours in a day. It was training. I played soccer. I lived off of that for years, but over time, your body doesn't quite look the way that it used to look. You can't run as hard as you used to run. Yeah, I mean, some of it's age, but a lot of it's lethargy. Now, I said, I was in chronic pain for 20 plus years. After that dirt bike accident, I couldn't do heavy weightlifting anymore. But there were other things that I could do. I just didn't want to do them because I thought it was boring. A couple weeks ago, I talked about running. Mia, she runs a half marathon. I don't know how you do it. I can't do that. I say I can't do that. Maybe I could. But I'm not going to, just to be clear. And I am making excuses. And that's fine. Maybe if you roll out a ball for 13 miles, I chase that ball. Like, I need something to chase. I need a motivation that's beyond like just the next step. Even Paul in the Bible said, I run for the prize. That's my biblical proof for my attitude. Endurance must be stewarded. You don't just achieve a level and then say, I made it. If you stop, you lose it. That's what Peter's saying. You become nearsighted and blind, forgetting that you've been saved. That's what Jesus did. Why do we have the Gospels? Because Jesus is the model for what's possible when we walk with him. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I can do nothing of myself. How much more do we need him in our lives, directing us moment by moment, day by day? And what do you do when you don't know what to do? You do the last thing that he told you to do, and you stay on that thing. There have been places and, you know, in my history where I was in a place, whether it was the church or work, and I was like, I was struggling in that place. And I was seeing things falling apart, and I was seeing things that weren't done with integrity, and I would have to go to the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to do? And I wouldn't hear anything. And so I just made the determination, I'm just gonna keep doing the last thing that I know he told me to do. I was in a business, working in management, and they were doing things that I felt lacked integrity, and I had to go back to the Lord and saying, God, you have placed me in this space, and you have put an authority over me, and so I'm going to honor this authority, and thereby I honor you, even though I don't agree with what's happening right now, because God honors honor. He taught me endurance by putting me in and allowing me in my 20s to stay in places where I wasn't sure I wanted to be. So what does this all mean? It means you were made to endure. Every single one of you were made to endure. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31 says, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Spiritual sluggishness is not your destiny. Endurance is. But you must connect and practice and steward the seed of faith God put in you. Pain might pay you a visit, but it's not your identity. Suffering may knock, but it doesn't have to move in. You are called to overcome. I've told this story before. This is how we'll close. In 2007, I was sick, and they were giving me all kinds of diagnoses. I had 7 bleeding lesions around my colon, and they diagnosed me with a neuroendocrine tumor, the tail of my pancreas. And honestly, I didn't even know. I was so out of it. I didn't really know what was going on. It took us 3 weeks for me to be strong enough just to get home, because we were in North Carolina. And I get home, and I'm sitting at the computer, and I was like, I need to learn about all these diagnoses. I need to learn about this infirmity. I need to learn about this stuff. And so I found this forum, and I got to remember, this is 2007. The internet was a little slower back then. So it took a while. You know, you learn faith and patience just by trying to log onto the internet. And so I found this forum that matched my infirmity, and it was a support group. Started reading through it. I said, oh, this looks like a good place. And I started filling it out. I was registering to this forum so I could have a online support group to help me feel better about my affliction. And as I'm halfway through registering, the Holy Spirit came down on me like a ton of bricks and said, stop. This is not who you are. This thing is on you, but it's not yours.
This thing has attached it to itself to you, but it is not your identity. You don't need a support group to coddle you in your affliction. You need a people that will surround you and pray for you and war on your behalf. You need to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and get on your face before me. And so I made a decision in that moment when I came back. I will not allow infirmity to keep me from doing what the Lord called me to do. And so every Sunday I would get up and I would lead worship, maybe just one song, because that's all the strength that I had to do it. I'd have to let somebody else finish for me. But I was like, I'm not backing down. I'm not letting this thing slow me down. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be steadfast, because fear is not my future. You are. Show up. That's what it takes. Look, I'm not saying this just so we have better attendance at the Brill. I can go do something else. I tell that to the Lord sometimes. I can go do something else, God. I'm doing this because this is what it takes for you to grow. And we've got to get out of our American passivity in the way that we approach faith. Your faith is not silent. You carry the reverberations of eternity. His divine power has given you everything that you need. You are partakers, you are participators in the divine nature. But are you? This is the day to begin again. Happy Palm Sunday. Because when he was riding on that donkey and they were laying out palms, and he's riding back into the city that he so loved, he knew the very people that were praising him would be the people that would put him on the cross a week later. But God so loved the world, Jesus came. Despised, reviled, denied. And he knew he was going to be rejected. He knew he was going to lay down his life and love for people that didn't love him back. And still on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know. I can't even do that when I'm driving. God, forgive me. Transform me to the image of your Son. But I'd realize that my life, it isn't more important than the life of the person in that next car. It's not more important that person who really annoys me. It's not. Father, forgive me. Forgive them. I choose to bear my cross today. Pressed in on every side. Maybe struck down, but not destroyed. Today, we rise in you. Because every time we die to self, we rise in you. Because you came and died and rose and ascended to the right hand of the Father. This is why you are worthy of all honor and all glory and all praise, King Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.